Amen. Well, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for being in us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's directing everything. And Lord, we want to be a part of it. And the way we be a part of it is acknowledge you and listen for you and to do the things that you have us to do, Lord. And I praise and thank you for that. And to know who we are in you. And I thank you for that, Lord. Be with us tonight. Lead and guide us tonight through this 2 hours of good fellowship with each other, Lord. And let us all be in one accord tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit's guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Does anybody got anything they need to pray for right quick? Or not right quick, just whatever. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for getting all the Muslims out of this country. Every one of them that has a bad heart, get them out of here in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are already starting this work. And we praise you for doing that, Lord, getting them all out of here, even the ones that think that there's someone, somebody. And I thank you, Father, for getting rid of them. In Jesus' name, they're nothing but satanic worshipers, pedophiles, perverts, and terrorists. And Lord, we thank you for getting rid of them. And Lord, those that are your elect, we ask and we pray that you go ahead and give them dreams and visions about yourself and bringing them into the kingdom. I know that what I've read about Muslims that convert to Christianity, they are great Christians. They believe in the love of Christ. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for all of your elect in the Muslim crowd. And I thank you, Lord, that it would be just great with me if you wanted to bring them all into the kingdom. And I thank you, Father, for doing the things that needed done to get rid of the terrorist actions out of the Muslim community in Jesus' name and out of our communities in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to add a little bit to what you're saying. Father, we just bind up that spirit of Islam and we bind up the works and activities that would want to spread that religious spirit into other people. The control, the manipulation, and the spirit realm, the deception that's behind it, and whatever lies that people, these is Islamic people are saying about the religion to get people to convert and read the Torah, not the Torah, what's it called? Their book, their
Quran. It's the
Quran,
Quran.
the Quran. Thank you, Lord, that that would just be cast down in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you give revelations to your people, and Brandon had some pretty serious revelations that you gave him, Lord. And he was saying, oh, kept saying over and over, it's not that they're Arab, it's not that they're dark skin, it's not that that. It is because many people are converting over to Islam, and they could be any of any nation, and that's what they want to do. They want to take over the world, and we forbid that. We bind up that
Amen.
power, the power and principality of those spirits. In Jesus' name, the
Glory be
spirits
to
of
God.
Islam, and we bind them, we command them be gagged, we command them to fail at their attempts to take over this country and other countries in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit that would move people to repentance and turn to Christ when they see and know that there is a better way, the only way, and that's through Jesus Christ to come into the kingdom of God. We pray for that arrive revival, Lord. We pray for an anointing of your Holy Spirit, an outpouring of your glorious Holy Spirit, the rain, the former rain, Lord. And we're waiting for the latter rain. We pray, God, for that revival to go forth into the Islamic communities and into this nation and people who are don't even know what they are and don't, you know, they're marginal Christians, and just so many people who can be swayed because they don't have a firm foundation. They're not rooted and grounded in you. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that they are susceptible, they're vulnerable, and we pray a hedge of protection around all of your elect among them, Lord, and other religions. God, there's so many different sects of Christianity that so many people would be vulnerable to deciding that they would go the way of Islam. And because they don't see the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church in so many different ways. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing this thing down. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for fulfilling that right there in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Pat.
And Father, we continue on. We thank you for your grace and your wisdom and opening up our eyes to your word and your truth. And Lord, we'd ask that you would send revival to your people. Lord, you promised, you commanded us and gave us the promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear their pleas, hear their cries, and I will heal their land, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And Lord, I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit through the churches of today, Lord, and bring forth a spirit of the fear of the Lord in the churches. Raise up people in all of these denominations that we have scattered around the country and the world, and raise up people to pray and to come together and to seek like-minded, like-spirited brothers and sisters, regardless of denomination, but those who have a heart to seek you and to serve you and to know you and to know the truth and to walk in it. And we just ask that you would bring forth a mighty revival, send forth your Holy Spirit, and raise up leaders in these churches and raise up a heart. Lord, as I watch these events that are happening in New York City and in Nashville and who knows however in Portland, Oregon, and all these various places, Minnesota. Lord, though these people have come in by stealth, these that are looking to destroy, looking to create faction and unrest and divide and conquer. But in many of these areas, Lord, you have a population that is immediate. They are acceptable. They accept these things. They don't stand up. They don't vote. They don't express their will, whether it be in the media or social media. There's so many of these people that are raised up, and they are loudmouthed, and they are vindictive, and they're angry. And anyone that raises up opposition or voices their opinion, they get shouted down or cast down or worse. And Lord, I'm just asking that you would raise up a people, raise us up, Lord, to stand against, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, to trust you in this whole situation and look to your resources that are above and beyond this realm, this earthly culture, this earthly realm, and depend and find the resources in you to cast these strongholds down, these spirits down, these spirits that have deceived many, and many open and passively accepting these ideas and these thoughts, and thinking that all is going to go well, and they are just diametrically opposed to logic when they're looking at some of these socialistic policies and plans and thoughts, it is truly killing the golden goose, that or the goose that laid the golden egg. And they don't understand it and they don't see it because logic has escaped them and left them. And we just bind that spirit of stupor. We bind that spirit of ignorance. We bind that spirit of passivity. We ask, Lord, that you would send forth your angels to put fear into the hearts of our Christian brothers and sisters throughout this nation, and raise us up with, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and raise us up with holy boldness to stand against, to resist and stand against this darkness that is covering the earth, and just to receive and request from you all the resources at our disposal. You've given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Lord, just give us grace to exert your domain in this earth today. Exert by the authority you've given us the dominion of Christ in the earth today. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you that you've given us all the resources and everything we need to in the gospel and in the filling of the Holy Spirit, the reception of the Holy Spirit to understand and to pull down these strongholds. And we thank you that we do so in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for getting them out of this country. Just get them on out of here. They're factions. They have faction. They have well, just angry, all time angry. Matter of fact, the Quran teaches them to murder, be perverts, and all that garbage. We thank you, Father, for just moving that bunch out of here. And thank you, Lord, that eyes are opening up to this. Thank you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, right now, we command every Muslim in this country, we bind your actions against the public. We bind you from talking to any of our children. We bind you from doing anything that would be detrimental to their well-being in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for everybody, getting them out of here. Thank you, Lord. I know that there might be some good Muslims, but for the most part, I'm like Donald Trump. He was talking about the Somalis, and he said that the country, Somalia, he said that's a bad country. It's a bad country. It's going, he said it's He said it's not good. He said it's always been like that. He said these people that come over here and complain about the United States Constitution and things like that need to go back to their own country and fix it before they come over here trying to tell us how to fix ours when they don't have a country that where they came from that was even any by any stretch of the imagination. Is a good country. Lord, we thank you for getting these people out of here. And we thank you, Father, that even AOC, get her out too. Gosh, she's nothing but just trouble, just like the rest of them. And we praise you. We thank you for doing that, Lord. I knew I had a friend. He was a friend. He was a Muslim that worked with me for a number of years back when I was in a secular job. And I asked him one day, I said, why don't you become a Christian? I said, you listen to us all the time. We talk about Christ, you know. He said, oh, I said, if I became a Christian, I would be shunned out of my family, out of my wife, all of my family, my brothers and sisters, my mom and dad. They would all shun me, and good even take his life. He said, if I turn Christian, he said, I can't do that. There's a lot of fear in that religion, a lot of fear. Go ahead, Pat.
I just was listening to the news. I didn't catch the whole story, but there's one was talking about the community, I guess you might say, in Minnesota that has received all of the Somalian refugees, is that they are saying that. And they're saying a community or a number of 100,000 people there. And they are saying that half, they have found that 50% of the paperwork or the immigration, paperwork has been is false or is not proper.
Well, who
They're
does that
also
fall on? The government. That's
a
Tim Walz's
co
bunch.
correct, but obviously Tim Walz is nothing more than a cog in a system that's well oiled, way up above him. But the other thing is that they say. Thought I heard them say that they found that 80% of that population is on the complete welfare, support from the government. There is somewhere around $1 billion, and I don't know if this is yearly, but of in input of money that has gone into that community, around $1 billion of funds. Now, I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing, so if I could probably Google the story and listen to, find out what's behind it. But they're doing some investigations, and that's why, that's why Trump has become so vocal related to that
Well,
particular area because
they found out that those Muslims are fraudulently doing two, three, four, and five claims on their own selves, and they're finding
right.
it out. Yeah, you're right. They're nasty
It's
bunch.
just a tremendous, tremendous amount of fraud. But the thing that bothers me, and I've seen this, like with, the commentators on the news stations, the conservative news stations, they're bringing on people and they're pointing their fingers to the at the AOCs and this radical communist that has come into New York City, and they're pointing their fingers at all these. And obviously we know, the rules of the game, that there's probably fraudulent voting apparatus happening here in this whole process. But especially in the one in Tennessee, where, Trump won that area, probably, I think, like it was 17% or something radical, that whole area. He won that state. And yet you have a person there that is running neck and neck with the Republican in there, and she is so far left. She's another Mamdani, but yet in Tennessee, it's going to be in Nashville if she is elected. And my question, not question, but. And that was part of the reason for my prayer tonight, is that you have a population that is allowing this. These people are getting voted in. And, as radical as they are, the public or the voting public, or whatever you would say, or the passive public is allowing this, is bringing, allowing this in, you know. And the only thing that the socialists are doing are serving up the dinner, but the American public is eating it, is biting on this, you know. So that's kind of the raising the flag type thing, you know, that we really are in need of a revival in this country to be able to withstand the ideology, and so that people learn to think for themselves. And because this enemy is coming in like a flood, and it's like the whack-a-mole game. Every time something, you try to push something down, it pops up in four other places, you know. And it's because we're fighting a spirit here. We're not fighting,
I hear you.
individual people. You know, we're
I hear you.
fighting a spirit that is covering this country and the world, I might say. But anyway.
Amen. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying against. We all know that this is garbage coming into our country. We know that Minnesota is bad. We know that parts of Texas is bad. We know that Washington, D.C. is, we got all these places. And let's just pray against this religious spirit of Muslim or Islam and run it out of here. Father, you said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I thank you, Father, that you've made us at we're sitting at your right hand. So we got the name, we've got the power, we got the
Powerful.
authority in the name of Jesus right now. I bind up Islam in this country and command it to cease its activities against the people of this country. In Jesus' name, and I break your power over these cities, these blue cities, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for running them out of here. In the name of Jesus, I run them out of here. We run them out of here. We have that authority and dominion. He gave us dominion over every little thing. And in the name of Jesus, we take that dominion right now and move Islam out of this country in Jesus' name. And we bind up any kind of shenanigans in this voting down here in Tennessee with this representative running
Yes.
against this lady that's a far left woman. And I thank you, Father, that he is going to win. Because it's going to be a free and oh, what's the word I'm looking for, y'all? It's not going to be stolen. It's going to be a good election. It's going to be an honest election, and this man is going to get in there in Jesus' name. I forget his name, but Lord, I thank you for putting him in there. We need this vote. We need to have it for for Trump to take over keep the House in the Republican side, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And we bind up any kind of Muslim activity in the Senate and the House with these whatever you call these ladies, what they call themselves, I forget. Trump calls them something too.
You talking about the Seditious Six?
Well, that too. No, I was talking about the Muslim three or four women that are in there also. AOC and Ilhan Omar and all that bunch. Anyway, Lord, we thank you for sending these people back where they came from in Jesus' name. And we come against any voter irregularities. Lord, I thank you that they passed this bill that says that we have to have paper ballots in order to vote. And you have to have an ID, a photo ID, in order to vote, just like it used to be. It used to be that way. And Father, I thank you for that. They're going to pass it We demand them to pass it. We command them to pass it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that we can do these things because it's to the welfare of your people, and I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, for putting a screw in every Dominion voting machine that's used in this United States, that it will break as soon as they plug it up, and they won't be able to fix it, and they'll have to go to ballots in Jesus' name, or a show of hands. That'd be a something to look at. But Lord, I thank you for doing that in our elections this coming year, in the 2026 elections. This is an off year, but there's a lot of people that's going to be running, and a lot of people that are going to be retiring, a lot of people that's going to have trouble getting out of Gitmo. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that we have some good and wonderful people in there after this election coming up in what, November? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Lord, I thank you that we be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Lord, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get off guard. I want to be in a loving way. And I thank you, Father, for placing love and throughout this whole fellowship here, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that all of that negative talk is gone in Jesus' name. I like what I got up here. It says, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. And by God's grace, I want to be that man. We're going to do all things for his sake. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody else got something?
I've got a testimony to share.
Okay.
Thank y'all for praying for Jean with her foot and the swelling that she had. I talked to her maybe 2 days after that, and she said it was a bit better. And then I saw her today. I went for a walk and I prayed if I should go in to see into her house and visit her. And I got a yes. So I went in to see her and she was walking really well. I asked her, well, how's your foot doing? Looks like it's doing really good to me. And she goes, yes, it's a lot better. So the Lord really answered prayer. I know that soreness like that. I had a after one of my pregnancies, I had a developed a blood clot in my on the inside of my knee, near my knee, and it was so sore, sore to the touch. So I was really praying for her, and I know you all were. So anyway, but I still prayed. I wanted to pray for her, and I still did. And so I just want to pray for that for complete healing. I just spoke healing over her knee in the name of Jesus, and can ask anything they want to still come against her intact there. So, and she received really well. She's really kind of giggly that she got prayed for and that she's doing something that God touched her. So, praise the Lord. She's very happy.
Yeah, amen. We heard you. That was good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
So I was reading. Had this thought this morning, and I ended up in Psalm 37, and it just seemed the whole psalm. I went to one verse in specific, verse 5: "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass, and He will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday." And as I went back and just started at the very beginning, and that whole psalm seems to fit right now where we're at in the nation and what we're where we're at in Christianity today. And so I was going to read just a couple of things that hit me. The very first verse, a Psalm of David: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness go forth as a light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself. It tends only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes again upon him with his teeth." And I had to stop there. As I was th thinking about, that's always been a verse or a statement that has always made me wonder, exactly what that is. He gnashes upon him with his teeth. It's like the wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. I know that there is the constant persecution of opposing vicious vitriol that will come against righteousness, and that constant speaking against that particular person. But what is that gnashing with the teeth? That's always kind of stuck out to me as, what is that? Anyway, the Lord will laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, they have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat as of lambs. They shall consume in smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous dealeth graciously and giveth. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he deals graciously and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Boy, I just ended up reading that whole thing. I guess I might as well finish it, huh? The Lord will not leave him in his hand. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah, is of the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they have taken refuge in him. Psalm 91. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good song. Good song. One to memorize. Amen. Kind of a good lesson there of what to do and what not to do. Yeah, Andrew.
That was Psalm 91.
37.
Oh. Okay.
That was Psalm 37, but the very last statement in that psalm matches Psalm 91, the whole psalm. They that take refuge in the Lord, you know.
That Psalm 91, we ought to be praying every morning for our families and ourselves. But there, somebody that listened to that whole thing. Missy or Julie or anybody else that listened to that whole thing about Brandon, what he'd said about what's coming. Anybody want to? I've only listened to just a very small amount of it. It's he's saying that there are cells all over that could start trouble. They're armed, and yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, when I watched some of him last night, he explained a little bit more. He said it's like a Red Dawn thing, or a D-Day or Pearl Harbor. And my impression was what it was like a huge convergence of everything happening at once. But he said that it wasn't like that. I think he
Like
was
what?
trying to express that it's just like, in a sense, an invasion within, but they're gonna pop. It's gonna be here and there, and not all at one time. I mean, there may be, I mean, like a couple that happened at the same time, but it's
So
not gonna.
it sounds like they're indicating that they want to spread out the military in order to cause havoc in this country. If they did it all at one place and spread it out that way, the military could take care of it pretty easy. But if it pops up over here and then back over here and back up here, Then they've got three fronts or four fronts or 15 fronts that they have to contend with. Yeah, I can see where they probably do something like that. And I understand from months ago that there are Chinese, young Chinese men in the States now that are armed and are also looking to cause trouble. So we just bind that up. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over these cell groups and we command them to stand down. And we bind up and we ask the angels to go out there and expose every one of these groups and where they are and bring them out in Jesus' name. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
He's used the Trojan horse kind of terminology, and we bind up this this Trojan horse deception. I don't completely understand. I understand a little bit, but it's coming from where you don't expect it, I think is kind of what it means. I don't know if you understand that more, Michael. But we just we thank you, Lord, for the angels that are going forth and they're getting evidence, taking money. This is well financed, he said, and we've been taking their money and we continue to take their money. Any of them that intend to do evil in this country, take their money, and we bind their murderous Antichrist anarchy spirits in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And send confusion into their camp that they
Amen.
fight against each other, and they have some fear of God, fear, put the fear of death in them. Some of these we bind up the spirit of jihad and suicide bombing and any of that kind of thing. Deliberate going to death to get a job done, and we forbid it in the name of Jesus. And we the suicide missions basically is the gist of it. We bind these spirits up in the name of Jesus, these spirits of suicide. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. That the angels are going and forth and fighting on our behalf, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use all this to bring a great revival. You're going to use this to wake up many people. You're going to use this, Lord, to bring many people to repentance, Lord, to bring a great revival in the church, Lord. It's one of many things you're going to use, but I think this you're going to use in a big way, Lord, and because judgment. When judgment is in the earth, the people learn righteousness, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord, for bringing revival to the church and a great end time harvest through all these things, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and grace, Lord. You discipline those whom you love, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that the enemy is on a leash. He can do nothing more than what you permit him to do for your purposes, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. And Lord, I know Brandon said too that they were hidden in amongst people, places that you're, I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but I know he mentioned, I won't name the name, but it was a big mega church. Like they were like ushers in the church and that kind of thing. And I think also they're in the governments. We already know that.
Wasn't it Joel Osteen?
Yeah, that was the person he named by name. But that's just one big mega church. I mean, that's just one place where
Yeah.
they've infiltrated. It's all about their infiltration, getting into places, with their charm, with their deception, and making people to think that they're Christian or whatever, or that they're on the side of justice and righteousness, that they're your friend. Like it's like you said, the Trojan horse thing is a gift, right? So But inside there, it's a death trap. They plan to spring their lawlessness and their anarchy and death. So we just bind all that, Lord, and we command the angels to go forth and identify them, expose them for what they are and their plans and schemes and devices to harass and torment the people of God and the churches, to blow up churches, to destroy and kill lives in churches and that kind of thing, whatever those plans may be. We forbid that in the name of Jesus. Although we know these things are prophesied, God, whatever is your will, Lord, I know you're going to bring that to pass because judgment does begin first in the house of God. And if it begins with us, Lord, we just pray for the fear of the Lord to fall upon people and they would be in right standing with you, Lord, before you take them home. And I thank you, Lord. I know there's been a lot of preaching on repentance and getting your heart right. Brandon does a really good job of doing that, and other ministers as well, Lord. And we thank you for doing that, God, and protecting your people. And we cast down these places, Father, that this infiltration of the enemy has filtered in. And we forbid their evil works, plans, and schemes to come to pass according to your will and only your will. Otherwise, we command failure to all of it, Lord, and let your righteous ones, Lord, be spared and expose the darkness for what it is. And if we can pray these things down to that degree, Lord, we pray for that in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, during the holidays where the shopping malls, tree lightings, entertainment. He mentioned Disney, and a lot of people go to Disney, whatever amusement parks those may be, entail all amusement parks, for family vacations over the holidays and that kind of stuff, and cruises and Disney has a cruise and all that too. So we bind all of that planned lawlessness and destruction and killing in the name of Jesus. We forbid that kind of thing from happening to destroy the peace of mind we have. They want to destroy. They want to intimidate with fear. He was saying that too. They want to use fear and intimidation. Like, should we or should is it safe to go here? Should we go here? And so take away our freedom to go where we need to go without fear of, what might happen if we go here. So we just bind all that up and we command failure to that. We bind those spirits of fear and intimidation, manipulation of this in the spirit realm, to take these things from us, this freedom that we have to go anywhere in this country, without having to prove anything about who we are. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. We praise you, God, for what you're doing already and draining the swamp and bringing down the deep state. And we want it all to be fulfilled according to your plans, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for exposing all of these people in Jesus' name and the people behind them. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
I just want to say, Michael, that you're really hard to hear. Kind of low in your sound. Did you hear me?
I couldn't understand you.
You're very low in your sound. You're hard to hear.
How about this?
There, that's much better.
Well, I was leaning back in my chair. Maybe it's why
See,
it's like that away.
yeah, you're quite a ways away.
Hey,
Okay.
Michael, is there a volume control on that mic?
Not on the mic itself, there is one in the settings, but I thought I had it
Maybe
all the
that.
way up. It doesn't sound okay now. Hello. Does it sound okay now?
Yeah, because you're closer for one.
Well, it ought to be, yeah. Well, okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Pearl Harbor anniversary is December the 7th, y'all. I saw something on Disneyland also that that might be a hot spot for the terrorists to kill kids. They love to kill kids. Bessie, did you get a revelation? Looked like you did. Okay, get it out.
He's mentioned Pearl Harbor. He said that there's a guy in Honolulu. That's on Oahu. That's where Pearl Harbor is. Okay? And from what he said, it sounds like he's on a suicide mission. And from what I heard him say about him a while back, and what I've heard him say recently about this guy, if I understood correctly, sounds like this guy doesn't want to leave there. It's kind of like he doesn't want to do this, but it's my sense is he has no, it's almost like he feels like he has no choice. I kind of expressed this morning, I thought I did, or the other morning. But it may be planning on doing it on that day.
Could be. We just prayed against it, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, yes, we forbid it. And I and y'all agree with me, because I prayed this. He may think that he can't get out of it, you know. So, Father, if he change his heart, if you are changing his heart, we've been praying about this. We pray that his heart change, Lord, and we send an angel to take him and put him in safe custody, Lord. If this is it, and that he will squeal on all who are working with him to do this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
To bring whatever kind of murderous, terrorist kind of activity there in Honolulu. We forbid it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for send the angels to snatch him and get him and put him, even if he's not repentant about it. We command the angel to take him and get all evidence and take him and put him where he needs to be, and put the fear of God in him, and he'll start spilling his guts and telling it all. We thank you, Lord, for working with the authorities through your angels to keep this from happening. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, Lord.
Amen. You ready to sing, Julie? All right. Thank you.
Now that's what you call worshiping the Lord with music and instruments, and that's a Jesus jam. Praise you, Jesus. All to you.
You're muted, Michael.
Oh man. Yeah, that was a good song. I like that song. I like old Clowder, that's what his name is. Send me that link, Judy. All right, anyone else? I'll tell you something that I was thinking about tonight, earlier. I was thinking about some scriptures that came to my mind that people don't quote often, but that are. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, Pat can hear me. That's all I care about. No, I'm just kidding. Some scriptures that come that we rush out to say them, but do we really think about what it says, who we are? And one good example I always thought was in wait a minute, let's see here it is, was Isaiah 53:4-5. Now we know that's a healing scripture and all that, but do we really understand what it means? I'm going to read it. Isaiah 53:4-5, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Does anybody see anything else other than healing in there? That's the whole plan of salvation. Go ahead. I saw Andrew raise his hand first, Missy. Get you right after him.
It has that chastisement of our peace was upon him. And, I always, if you look up peace in the dictionary, it's a pretty good reference, but that's a far greater definition of the word peace for us and what it also says in Ephesians about peace of the two are made one, thus making peace. And in Philippians, it does refer to us both, Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And this, I just never thought of it a chastisement upon him is for our peace, and I like the way it says it in the ASV there, because it's just so. I just didn't think about peace and him suffering for our peace. It's just, I thought peace was the two are made one. That's making peace. Like he did suffer for that to give us the peace of the third fruit of God, the fruits of the Spirit. His peace is. It's not the end of hostilities that says it in the dictionary. It's a peace in Christ because we're united with him, but when we're two is made one. Even in Romans, it says 5:1, I think it says, justified by faith, we have peace with God. Again, there's the peace because he's making the two in that one body, And it's just so profound that he had to suffer so that we could have that redemption by him, by his blood. And I just, like all the verses there are wonderful and stand out. Like this is the second time you're mentioning this, Michael, because I remember holding my Bible open on Isaiah 53 on my coffee table for the longest time. And I kept staring at it, and I said, I should get to those verses, because I know they're in Matthew again. So you know, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And that's 700 years before Christ even came to the planet. So, you know, like you have other verses there out of the Psalms, that's 900 years, you know, before Christ comes, you know. And it seems to me like that's another thing there, you know. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, in one of the Psalms there. And what was the right hand to these old covenant people? But I have a question, because I was looking at the parable of the sower, and I was going, well, wouldn't that apply for those people who were old covenant people too? Because it's in a time of rendition between the two covenants. So those items may have meant something for, because the people of Israel were constantly waiting for this Messiah to come to give them answers for things. So I was kind of wondering if those four different lands would have been mutually for both covenants, you know, because they have wanted to see the Jesus of the future. Because he had the disciples that were supposed to follow that, but they really didn't have the blood of the Lamb yet or the Holy Spirit on them. So that's my question. Does it apply for those Jews too? That, because he spoke this out plainly to the Jewish people, those parables too. And it could have applied to their own covenant. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm sure to search for that pearl of great price would also apply to Judaism and Christianity. But we know what it means because we know what it means because we were taught the spirit of the word. But, you know, what would it mean in the letter to be in the first land? You know, he forgot the word. He doesn't have that little box on his forehead anymore or on his arm, you know. So I was just thinking about that as a question posed today. But I still want you to get back to whatever that is. I don't know.
What was that?
And, I don't know. His pipes are going crazy in this building.
I heard that.
Yeah, because it's like a minus 9 now. So,
oh my gracious!
I'll just tell him to close the bathroom door. It'll heat it up. Anyway, we're getting a lot of weird noises around here. So I have my force field of protection around this particular apartment. I anointed the walls a long time ago. Maybe it's time to get the oil out again. Anyway, I'm sorry to go on a tangent here for another direction, but I wanted to pose that question.
Okay, Missy had her held up for that, so we'll see what she says about it.
Well, I had an email conversation about this very verse of by his stripes you were healed. I had an email conversation with someone and they said that they asked me if I ever looked up that verse and what it means. And I said, yes, I have. There's other verses, how did I put that? There's other verses, to consider also. And then I said, the sum of thy words is truth. That's all I said. Because this person was saying that it was spiritual. And it's like, okay, you know, and my thought is I've learned that it's God's salvation is spiritual, physical, everything. I mean, his salvation isn't just a freaking, there's a lot of people that do not understand that sin brings the curse. That curse on you is because of sin. And if you don't, and if I don't believe that Jesus redeemed me from the curse, and what that means in Deuteronomy 28, you know, all that in Deuteronomy 28, it spells it out plain and simple. You know, and I don't believe in God's healing, then I am gonna suffer. You know, it's so sad what so many people have been taught, and you know, and if you look up, there's two places there in that context of those verses where it says grief. The Hebrew word is sicknesses. And sorrow is also pain. And it says pain, sorrow, pain, physical, pain, mental. I mean, it covers everything, you know? But yeah, I mean, they don't understand. They just don't understand that those verses, and they don't understand that Jesus took the beating that we deserved. He took the sicknesses that we deserved for our sin upon him.
He also took our sins.
Right. Yeah, the sin and the curse.
Yep.
They don't understand that. And oh, dear Lord, thank you, Lord. They're going to get straightened out here real soon.
Well, they see things in the flesh. They don't see things in the spirit realm because they've been taught that the Holy Spirit did is gone. You don't get that anymore.
You know, and the funny thing is like, everything that Jesus did, and I'm telling you from my own experience, what I was told, they spiritualize everything. You know, well, the blindness. Well, Jesus healed, you know, Jesus healing people's blind eyes it's just a spiritual symbolism. They're making parables out of things that aren't parables, and they totally are not seeing the parable. When there are parables, you know what I'm saying? They make saying that it's spiritual healing, spiritual deafness that he heals and spiritual this. And it's so screwy. It's so screwy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for giving them wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. And Michael, you are, That thing that about the mustard seed, you had to play that. You know what I'm talking about?
Not a clue.
This woman got a real revelation. The mustard seed. Remember that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember now.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, she got a real revelation.
She explained that the mustard seed was not the smallest seed. And a lot of other things. And I don't want to get into that right now. Let's just go ahead. And
right. But yeah.
All right, Pat. Now, are you through, Missy? Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
I know I've heard that excuse. That excuse, you know, that those scriptures are interpreted to be spiritual, but you know, my I guess response to that is, so what? It's all spiritual, you know. It if you don't have a healing, shall we say, a believing in the spirit, you won't have a healing in the body. You know, it all starts with in the spirit by believing in some form or another. So I don't, I don't, I think there is more, not as much ignorance as there is possibly, reluctance or fear to go down that path and believe. Because if you believe that that relates, responds, dis and refers to physical healing, then that means you have to adjust your life accordingly. That you're forced to make some decisions that may not be very comfortable to you. You may not be able to enjoy the freedom, if you can call it freedom, of going down to the doctor and get, a shot in the arm, if you are feeling bad or whatever it is. There's no requirement of truth that directs you to change that thinking or to reevaluate that thinking. And simply put, people tend to believe what they want to believe or will allow themselves to believe, or are not fearful or have shunned fearfulness to believe the truth, even though it has fearful replications or applications to it, or what might seem to be fearful. But just like everything else in the look following the Lord, you walk through the door of Christ. You walk through his that door in that particular word that you are starting to see or starting to be revealed to you, and whether you understand it totally or not, it ultimately comes down to a point: is will I, do I believe it? And if you believe it, you're going to turn that doorknob and walk through Christ into that place where you may not have all of the answers, and you have to seek God for all the answers, and you have to make that truth apply and work for you. And sometimes it's not an overnight thing. Sometimes it's stumbling around in the darkness until you finally get your feet, your wrap your head, your mind, or your spirit around it. And so we're in such a dark time, not because so much because things have gotten significantly darker here in these last 40, 50 years or whatever you'd say, but we're really experiencing the last 2,000 years of darkness that has pushed the gospel down, and God has been raising it up for the, in a very significant way here in the last few hundred years, and in this last time we all know that there's going to be a trial, a tribulation, a testing that's going to force people to open that door of the truth and open that door of Christ. And whether they understand everything or not, they're going to have to choose to believe the truth, and to go where that truth leads them, and to trust God to supply what they need in that process. So, when I hear, Missy brought up the fact that, those verses, even in those words, "Man of sorrows acquainted with grief," those words have the indication of a pain and pain and suffering. And you can have pain and suffering in a body. You can even have pain and anguish of the soul, but a spirit, your spirit, you don't have a what am I trying to say? Their healing of the spirit is there's not a healing of the spirit, because healing is there's an enlightenment, an awareness, but your spirit doesn't have pain. You can't reach out and Jesus, you can't, it doesn't have pain. It doesn't need to be, a spirit doesn't need to be healed in that sense. It needs to be forgiven, needs to be enlightened, needs to be aware of God, but pain it does not enter into that. You listen to all the people that have passed out of their body, and God has taken them to heaven to, and then or various different journeys, and then brought them back. When they were out there, they didn't have pain. They didn't experience pain. When they went to hell and experienced those, the stories that we heard, they didn't feel pain. Now those. So when they came back into the body, many of them, especially those that were in accidents or something, and God sent them back, when they went back in that body, they immediately experienced pain. Well, that pain and sorrow and grief is an aspect of the physical, and so, and it clearly says there in those verses, he bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows, and he was wounded. That terminology, wounded, that's a physical thing. He was wounded. So all of those, the aspects of those verses, bruised. Can you bruise the spirit? I don't think so. Those are bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace, and with his stripes we are healed. If all of those aspects of those the previous verses there has to do with a physical something, then by his stripes we are healed has to be applied to a physical body. And of course, we all know that in, I think it's Matthew 8, where, it clearly says that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, healing all sicknesses, to fulfill these words here of Isaiah, "Surely has borne our griefs, and by his stripes we were healed," etc. So, it's when you think about the logic behind it, and again, the meaning of the words, it's very easy to see the logic of the language, that it is referring to a physical healing. But again, I go back and say, those that are absolutely adamant that this is, quote, spiritual, are simply not wanting to evaluate. They're not wanting to logically evaluate the words that are written there in black and white. So, anyway, I just it just goes back to the thing that, this is this battle against the gospel and against truth is not a battle of mental logistics and thinking. It's a battle of spirits, of
Yes,
binding
it is.
spirits, of spirits that people are motivated to believe the way they want to believe if they're motivated by a spirit to do that. Whether it's their own or they have help from other spirits out there or whatever, but it is the bottom line is it's there in a self-preserving way. They want to preserve what they believe now, as opposed to taking a chance, leaping out there and latching onto the truth because of the fear of where that truth is going to take them. So, anyway, praise the
Well,
Lord. Thank you, Lord
yeah,
Jesus.
but there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I believe it's this, Pat and everybody else. I believe it's sense knowledge, which is the flesh, versus the spirit of God inside of his people. That's why you got so many interpretations of these scriptures by people that have a lot of alphabet behind their name, but don't know the Holy Spirit at all. Don't know God. All they have is a flesh knowledge of God. And that's why the Lord said, allow no man to teach you, only the Spirit of God. Yeah, Andrew.
I know I said it before, but there was Perpetua and Felicitas, two young ladies who were brand new mothers. And one of them was very well academically inclined to two languages of Latin and Greek and able to read and write in both of them. But Felicitas, her sister in Christ, was a slave girl and she couldn't read at all. And they all got together and prayed because the Romans had a rule that you couldn't go into the Colosseum if you were pregnant. So she didn't want to go in the Colosseum alone. She wanted to be there with the people she knew. So they prayed for this baby to come early. And the baby did come early back then. That's the story anyway. And she got to go with her girlfriend, Perpetua, who was educated from an affluent family. And she was a slave girl who just had her baby for 2 days, and she had to go to this Colosseum also. I think it was in Carthage. But it stands to reason that this is not an educated person, but filled with faith. And of course, the educated person was also filled with faith. So, they really have to look at these examples that we have, even some of the examples that I know it's a small thing for the Lord to make a baby to come a month early, but it was the first perfectly fine baby. And back then, they didn't have all the stuff we have now in the hospitals. So, and that was an answer to prayer, almost right away. And praise and glory to God, because the outcome was something that couldn't happen for them to reject the Lord. Anyway, there's some really good stuff there in the martyrs. And I use these two women as an example. There's an 8-year-old boy over there is a really good example for me too on this. And he's more recent. He's during my lifetime who was martyred. And anyways, you think what kind of academic did this sister of ours, who was equal to us, who couldn't read, and how many people over all those centuries since that time you go back 200 years, a lot of people couldn't read, so how do they understand the faith and the Bible and stuff, And I think an example was used not too recently about some people in Africa who couldn't read either, and they were good examples for us. So I was just thinking about that. Some people, they want to prove, I guess, their academic prowess or something. No, I'm just glad I wasn't a good student in high school. Or I'm pretty stupid, and I think I'm. I just want to be Christ smart. I don't know if that's the right consciousness. Mind and heart together. You're supposed to love the Lord. Even the Pharisees knew you were supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And they just didn't know how that love was to replace the law. So anyway, the fulfillment of the law. Jesus spoke it on the Sermon on the Mount, and we get the love for that, and they loved the Lord after. Those were Gentile women in their 20s, the weaker vessel. How much more weaker can you be? Like some tough women out there, I understand that, but Peter taught us about that, some muscle-bound women in the gyms too, but you're going to have to become as weak as that muscle-bound Apostle Peter was. And to have the humility. Well, what's the second blessing of the blessings in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the meek, or blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think sometimes we need to I like that they put nine there, nine blessings there, and nine fruits of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit, three for each category. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, we know that the Lord was talking about the covenant that he fulfilled for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's where our peace comes from him. And with his stripes, we're healed. That means we don't have to take his stripes. We don't have to, all we have to is believe him. That's all we have to do. Look at Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. This is part of it too. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I wonder what they would say about that. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. He fulfilled the covenant of blood through his own body for us. Many people don't understand this. We don't have to go through this garbage because he went through it for us. And if we believe that, and believe the other scriptures that are pertain to these scriptures here, who we are in Christ, what we have, are these promises are for us, so that we could show the signs and wonders, so that we could bring people into the kingdom. Also, he wants us to be, to have wisdom and discernment. Those verses that talk about that. These things are things that we're going to need in the days to come to understand who we are in Christ. We're new creations. We're not the old Michael. I ain't the old Michael. You're not the old Pat. You're not the old Andrew. You're not the old Missy and Julie and Debbie and Joe, Barbara, and Josie. And we're new creatures in Christ. Creation, new creation. That old Michael's gone. I now sit at the right hand of Jesus. I now listen. I am filled with the Spirit of God. And I walk in righteousness. And I have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I am healed and delivered by the stripes of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew. I just had to get that out. That's the affirmations that you ought to be saying every day for yourself so that you don't get off track and say, oh, poor me. You just don't understand. You just don't know. You know what? Give me a break. You have the living God living inside of us. We do. We all do. And when we have the living God living inside of us, nothing can in any way hurt you. Is that what the word says? If you know who you are in Christ, that's the exact truth. Okay, Andrew, let me get off the soapbox.
You know, you talked about that perfect tabernacle in those two verses, but in the page before, it talks about the tabernacle whom the Lord pitched. So get them pitched. Get it to pitch you up there. I don't know, I guess. I was just looking at that verse too, because it's in 8 and 2, I think. And it's just so cool on how this tabernacle, whom we are, because we're told we're that, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, as it says in John 14. You know, that's the tabernacle. And he's got a lamp in there for us, and we're children of light. And he's got wonderful lights, and we got to walk in the fear of the Lord, you know, because that's a light. Not Acts 9:31, you know, we got to walk in all those. We're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, then what follows fear? You know, the proverb says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we got to walk in the wisdom, the next light, right? I sort of think it's fear, and then the one right, the seven lights in that candlestick that we have in Revelation. And the next one's got to be this one. Anyway, it's just so neat that we can have that that ark being made for us by the Lord. He's pitching it up, you know, that whether it be a basket that Moses had or Noah's ark, you know, and it's a corporate body now because he's got all those crazy animals, and I shouldn't say crazy, yeah. But he's got all those animals that were in the sheep there in the book of Acts for Peter. So, you know, he's making us an ark. We don't see it, you know, but since when are we going by sight? Not by sight, but by faith. So praise and glory to God. And I'm not the most academically inclined person. I try to be, but. You know, I'll be stupid for the Lord as long as that's a good thing I'm told in the Bible. So, you know, but I think the stupidity of this stupor that's written somewhere in Romans, I think chapter 11, the spirit of stupor. You know that we don't have a spirit of stupor. We, you know, in Corinthians chapter 1, you know, they speak about not the most gifted people are chosen sometimes, but sometimes they are, you know. They've got some 200 IQ people who know how to make another Bible called the ENT, you know. So we have some people there who use their five talents to produce another five. you know. But if I got a half of talent and I'm going to produce another half, you know, I'm equal. At least I got half a talent, you know. It makes one, you know. I produced 100%. So, and plus, there's a lot of young people out there, you know. You know, they're just little guys, you know. I see them. They're sort of running around in a circle on Friday. On Friday nights when I watch, you know, it's going, yeah, there's got to be at least some talent there to do that, because I certainly couldn't run that fast. Anyway, they're exciting to watch, but, you know, the excitement sometimes is contagious, too, when you watch that, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, even the most mature person needs sometimes to look on those things in the Lord, you know, and to really discern what some of these little ones are going through, you know, and even when you speak and you see the Lord working in someone who's getting that John 6:44, you know, unless the Father draw him, you know, that draw, it's really nice to see a little bit of drawing. And it's just an encouragement for us all. And, you know, I just want to get rid of this discouraging things, you know, these things that are going on. Because I know what the verses say about the iniquity abounding. And we want our love to continue. But how do we do this? You know, how do we, why so young? You know, why are we so young when we could be so much more mature? You know, I sometimes wonder about that, me being in my 60s. You know, I want to mature. I want to be the way the Lord wants me to be. Mm-hmm. But I know there's so much more to be given to us. And it's kind of, I don't know. I can't be anxious about this, but you know, to give you a parallel, you always wanted to be older when you were a teenager. You know, they have that, oh, I'm getting out of here when I'm 18, but you know, you get to turn 18 and you go, oh, Mom's still doing the laundry, that sounds good. You know, and it is a mama's boy and daddy's little girl. So, you know, daddy will, what are you doing? His stuff for. But mom will say, well, you know, he's the last. You know, being the youngest in the family, there's benefits. Because all your siblings had to work on your mom and dad for you. And they're groomed for the youngest one, and you better help your youngest siblings there if you're not the youngest, because they need a lot of help. Everybody needs help from the Lord. And it's one body, so you know, if it's one body, it's one body, you know. But what was Jesus's body like, you know? And are we not partakers of the divine, according to Peter, in 2 Peter 1:3-4, you know, from the divine power to being partakers of the divine nature, you know. So glory to God, and thank you, Lord, and keep us going and keep maturing us, keep helping us in whatever we need, Lord. It's how does one speak encouragement for someone when everybody wants encouragement, you know? How did that guy do it, you know, in the book of Acts there, who was labeled the encourager? Well, it's not me. Praise God. I can't encourage myself, but I like to listen to encouragement. Praise God.
Amen. Man, I like your uniform there, man. That's a Tennessee Sunday go to meeting clothes right there. Amen, brother. Oh, go on with yourself, boy. Amen. All right, Missy.
He doesn't have that hair on his face anymore, so I guess it fell off. He's getting bald down here.
Oh my!
He went to work, and all the workers are, you know, who's that?
Well, yeah, who is this guy coming in here? All right, Missy. Missy, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I was trying to get back. I was trying to put something in the chat. Hold on a minute. There we go. Anyway, earlier you said about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? Didn't you say that earlier? Okay. Well, I was in the verses, there's verses yesterday all around that. And I was really thinking about them, and I just want to read them to everybody. And then a verse that the Lord came to me. And just thinking about how it applies to what we're talking about here with healing. It doesn't refer specifically to healing, but let me just say that
it's not so much about healing as it is who you are, you know.
Right.
Mostly.
Yeah. Who we are in Christ. And yeah. If Jesus is in me and I'm in him, well, and I abide in him, he's not sick. He never was sick, except when he was on the cross, all of our sickness was put on him. So then I'm not sick either. Right. Anyway, so I want to read these verses.
Okay.
Beloved, be not.
Give us a reference.
Okay, I'm sorry. 1 John 4, start the beginning, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Oh,
hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it comes, and now it is in the world already. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He who is not of God hears us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's pretty much what I wanted to read, I think.
Okay.
yeah, it's pretty much. But what came to me was 2 Corinthians 13:5, that it says, try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves, or know you not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are reprobate. And so I just wanted to share those verses because it just really says a lot. It says a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're in us and we're in you.
Missy, did you read verse 17 in chapter 4?
No, I didn't. No, verse 17?
17.
No, I didn't go that far. Actually, that whole chapter is really good. I could do what Patrick did, read a whole chapter. Anyway, herein is love made perfect with us, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. And I speak that over myself pretty much every day. I don't think there's a day I miss it. That one, and if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk as he walked. That one too. So I love the epistles of John. They're just so full of, I just love them.
There's a bunch
Amen,
of them.
Lord.
There's a bunch of them. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I was thinking about what the example that Andrew gave about the, I guess the girl that was knew how to read and I have to let Andrew reiterate the, whose names they were, but and the girl that did not know how to read and the spiritual depth that was in them both. And as I was thinking about it, these verses kind of came to my mind that even though she couldn't read, the essence of the gospel is not reading. The essence of the gospel is believing. And when I thought of these verses, because that one that could not read was no doubt availing themselves of the reality of the gospel in these verses in Romans 10:8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Because if thou shalt, one, confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the essence of that, obviously, of that principle is, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the scripture saith, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. And so, with that very simple combination of believing in your heart the truth, whatever particular truth that was given to you, and your confession and speaking forth with the mouth what you believed applies it and puts it in your heart, puts that faith in your heart and writes it upon your heart at that point in time. And so even though these may not have known how to read the words, they heard the words from somebody and they heard the truth and they believed it and they spoke it, and that word became reality within them. So I wanted to speak about a couple other things, but I don't think I really have time to develop the point. Maybe I can, if the Lord allows it, bring it up on Thursday. But Andrew had something to say, so I'll just bow out.
Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Andrew.
Me and Ben were discussing that very verse that Pat just read about it being in your mouth, and what does it say about the covenant in chapter 8 of Hebrews, how the Lord writes his law, his word upon our mind and upon our heart. So why not it being in there? Why should it not be in there? This is what this Felicitas, unliteral, because she couldn't read, had, and what Perpetua had, though. But you know, verse manuscripts back then were very expensive. She could write one herself because she heard the apostle speak, but or the bishop at that time speak, but she could write it down on a piece of paper, but the other one couldn't. But I'm sure that even Perpetua had it in her heart and on her mind written there by the Lord, because it was his law, which is his love today. We love because he first loved us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. So here we have something written upon our hearts, or our minds first, and then it goes into our hearts, and he writes it upon our hearts also. And there'll be no need for your fellow citizen, not the citizen of America or Canada, but the citizen of the kingdom that you seek ye first. And he writes it there. So what is this? And because everyone shall know him from the least to the greatest. So there it is. You know, I don't know if a lease would be given to Felicitas, who couldn't read, but that was a crutch for her. But whereas it could have been, it was also a crutch for knowing how to read or write too, right? Because she could do it in two languages. I can't. And, I'm just struggling with the three languages they were trying to stuff into me all at once in this country. So, and I don't even know English. Praise God.
We can't hear you, Michael.
That's because I muted myself, so Pat couldn't hear me. What I said was there's a lot more of these types of scriptures in here that you could go over and look at, meditate on, and find out what, you know, what you really, who you really are, and what God has wanted us to be. Well, he wants us to look, act, and do just like him, just like Jesus. Jesus was our example. Andrew's saying something. I bet it's good, too. All right. Anybody else before we close out tonight? Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word, too. We thank you, Father, that you gave it to us, and that not only did you give us the word, you gave us the things of the word. You gave us all promises, and all we need to do is just trust you to bring them forth out of us. And we thank you for doing that, Lord. Sometimes we get caught up with the distractions of the everyday life that we go through and walk in. But Lord, let us always be mindful of your word. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we do have that now in a mighty way. And Lord, I thank you for a Moses DNA restoration. You know, he had a baby at 100 years old, for goodness sake. And Sarah at 90 was stunning. Lord, we thank you for all of that. Coming up soon, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got something but they want to pray about before we close it? We still got about a minute left, half a minute. Missy, you're not allowed. You ain't got a half a minute. I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. I got to pick on you a little bit.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I couldn't find my hand on my phone to raise it, so I just thought I'd speak up.
Okay.
I just I'm just going to pray quickly for my daughter. She's coming home after a month-long trip, and she's coming home from Bangkok today, flying through Seoul and then Seattle and then finally to Detroit. So, Lord, we just pray protection over Anjali and her friend M, and they're just going to have a safe and enjoyable trip all the way here. No issues like they had on the way there. So, Lord, thank you for the restful time that they had and the enjoyable time and just keeping them safe the whole time, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. You did a mighty work there and didn't even have to worry about them at all. Thank you, Lord. And amen.
Amen. Vanita, did she have a good time?
Oh, she had a wonderful time.
Okay, yeah. Great.
She was in India for 10 days with a lot of my family. So that was a little overwhelming. But then they went to Thailand and just relaxed and didn't talk to anybody. And they loved it.
Okay. Well, praise God that they had a good time with the family. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and keeping us during this. Get her home safely and with all the memories stuck in her memory bank, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.